This morning, I'd like to invite you over to the book of Acts, chapter 3, verse 6. Acts, chapter 3, verse 6.
Acts, chapter 3, verse 6 reads this way. It says, "Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne this morning, once again thanking you for the privilege of assembling together as your church. And then, Lord, being reminded where two or three are gathered together in your name, there are you in the midst. And so, Lord, we thank you for your presence. We ask, Lord, for the blessing of your Holy Spirit to guide our hearts and minds to worship you and to hear from you, Lord, that you might be highly exalted and lifted up in our lives, and that we might truly be the light and the salt of the world you've called us to be, to tell others about what you've done for us and giving us eternal life, that they too also may enjoy the eternal life that you've bought. I pray, Lord, that you would just bless and build Northwood for your honor and glory, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this morning is simply, "But such as I have, give I thee." But such as I have, give I thee. Now, this is important because we're talking about the Apostle Peter, called out by the Lord himself. But if we look at his past, he was not somebody that always did or knew what God wanted him to do. But now he certainly has a different outlook on his ministry and calling that God has positioned him in. By the way, listen, God has also called every child of God to be ministers, the ministers of reconciliation, the ambassadors of the truth, the light and the salt of the whole world. That's what God's will is for each and every one of our lives, that we might, listen, boldly share the gospel with those that we come into contact with in everyday life, and them not just hear it, but them believe it, trust in the Lord, get saved, and come and be added to the Lord's local New Testament church. That is the objective for the life of the believer, amen? We don't want to just say, well, I told somebody somewhere. We want to see them get saved. Now listen, telling somebody is where it all begins, amen? If we don't tell anybody, can't expect anything. But we don't want it to end there, do we?
No.
No, we want to see them come and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, just as God has opened up our eyes to see the difference. Now, what is the difference in the life of the Apostle Peter? We'll take a look at that here in just a moment. But this morning, what we're going to consider really is the life-changing power of Jesus Christ in the life of His people to give life to those who don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Isn't that the objective? So this morning, this message has to do really with the gift that God has given to all His people and that He wants to give to others. Is that not the case? God has given to us the greatest gift of eternal life. Is that the truth? Question, does God want to give that gift to those also who don't have it in our day and age? He does want to do that. And so that's the Lord's plan and purpose and provision. And God wants His people to be the light to the whole world, beginning in our world, in our everyday lives. So this morning, three important revelations really in this relationship that God wants to have with us. The first thought is a life void of physical power and a life filled with spiritual power. A life void of physical power. That was the lame man. We saw that, right? And then, and we'll see that here in just a minute. But then a life filled with spiritual power. And that was Peter and John who went into the Lord's house. Secondly, the undeniable permanent change in the life of the lame man. An undeniable change that took place in the life of this lame man. And that was the power of God. And then thirdly, Peter's sermon of salvation. So let's back up here to verse 1 and look at this life void of physical power. Look at verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. Now I want to ask you a question. Do you think Peter and John said, you know what, we're going to meet a lame man that is lame there, sitting right there, God's going to use us to touch and heal him? They didn't know that. But they were led by the Spirit of God, and they were moved by the Spirit of God to work the works of God that God had called them to do. By the way, listen, has God given to us a calling? Has He given to us a command? Has He given to us a commission to shine the light of God into a lost and dying world? Is it God's will that they just hear the words and nothing happen? Or is it God's will that they hear the word and their lives be changed eternally? That's God's will. But we have to say, Lord, I trust you to do that in me. See? We have to get on board with the Lord and say, Lord, we know that you want to fulfill that, not just in somebody else's life, but in my life. That's important. Every believer may they say, listen, Lord, I am yielded. I am willing to trust you to do your will and your work in me. That's where it has to begin. And Peter was brought to that place through a process during the Lord's earthly ministry. And again, the Lord, listen, you can't get a better teacher than the Lord, but Peter really struggled with it, didn't he? I mean, when the Lord was on the Mount of Transfiguration and Peter got this great idea, and the Lord said, no, that's not the plan. And then when the Lord told him, listen, I'm going to be taken and you guys are going to be scattered. And Peter said, oh, no, that's not going to be the case. I'm willing to go to death. I'm willing to die with you. And of course, that was not the case. Peter had one thought in his mind, but he did not even understand the Lord. And the Lord told him, remember what he said? Peter, tonight, before the cock crows twice, how many times is he going to deny him? Three times. And here's the question. Did he deny him three times? Absolutely. Just like the Lord said. Is the Lord true to His word? By the way, in the negative as in the positive. So this was going to, but after you're converted, strengthen. And by the way, that he's not talking about salvation. He's talking about after you understand the difference between the power of the flesh and the power of the Spirit, after you start depending upon me, strengthen your brethren. Amen. Do you know, listen, nothing more would strengthen the body of the Lord Jesus Christ here at Northwood Baptist Church than to see God using each and every one of us to tell others about salvation and watching others come to trust Him and come into this house, amen, worship God with us and follow Him in scriptural baptism, church membership, and in participating and also going out into the world and telling others. That's the way God wants it to work. But here's the question. Here's the real question. Do we believe God to do that? Do we trust that He wants to do that? Are we leaning completely and calling upon Him to do that in our lives? And Lord, give me understanding that I might understand more how that works. So Peter's life has been changed, but I want you to see this life here that was void of physical power. Look at verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb. That is a picture, really, of all of us. Spiritually speaking, not a single soul has power, spiritually speaking, from their mother's womb. Spiritually speaking, we are lame, we have no power. In fact, the truth is we are dead, aren't we? And trespasses and sins. We are dead. And so here he is. And it says he was lame from his mother's womb. And notice, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. So he is just looking for a physical sustenance, isn't he? He's just looking to be satisfied in the physical realm. I need to eat, right? I need this daily bread to survive. But God had a greater and better plan, didn't He? He said, not only are you going to get what you need physically, but you're also going to get a relationship with God Almighty. You're going to worship Him this day. Listen, that He didn't even have that on His radar that day. I'm going to worship and praise God. I'm going to, because of what He is and what He has done or is going to do for me. And this is going to completely change His, listen, let me ask it like this. Is it going to completely change his whole outlook on who God is? Is it going to be personal with him now? See, God, and by the way, God used, he could have sent an angel, couldn't he? But he didn't. He sent two disciples, amen? God is sending us out also. And so he says to them, verse 3, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. That's all he did. That's all he knew to ask. He didn't know to ask, hey, I could be healed today. Hey, I can experience God like never before. The lost world, by the way, we didn't know it either until somebody told us about the Lord. We were lame also, spiritually speaking. And so what happens here is Peter and John are in tuned with the power of the Spirit that is working in their lives. See, listen, they had something more than just a head knowledge of who God was. They were having an experiential knowledge and a trust and a faith that God was able, listen, to use them for His honor and glory. Here's the question. Is God in 2025 able to use us? And you specifically sitting in your chair, is he able to use you for his honor and glory to tell others about him and their lives be changed and them trust the Lord as their Savior and their lives be changed? God can do that. And the question is here, do we believe that? See? Oh, listen, it's not going to be any fancy speech or some kind of eloquent speech that we're going to give to somebody. God, through the Holy Spirit, will use our infirmities, our frailty, to His honor and glory, our inabilities for His honor and glory. This way, He gets all the praise. You and I don't have anything we can say, do we, that somebody might be saved? We don't have the power, but God does. And God says, I have commissioned and I have given it to the church. Amen? Now, all we have to do is believe that and revival will break out because God will begin to do the work. When we realize we have nothing and God has it all, and we go in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to tell the lost world, we'll see people getting saved. We'll see people getting saved. Are we excited or I guess is that where we're at? Do we want people to be saved? Is that really what's on our heart? And if it's not, oh God, put it in my heart. Do you think this lame man thought much about Peter and John after he got healed? Do you think he said, man, I owe you for telling me I owe you everything? And Peter and John would say, you don't owe us a thing. We were blessed to see God work through us, to see you get saved. Amen. To see you be healed. So notice what happens here. Verse 4, and Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, they're both in tune. They're both in step with what the Spirit is doing. And they both looked at him. And he's expecting to get something. And notice what he said. He said, look on us. Look on us. Listen, did they have confidence that God was working in and through them? He understood how God was working in his life, and he believed the Lord, Peter, and he's getting ready now to move. Listen, you and I can't just make that up. God has to lead us to that if we put our faith in him. See, a lot of people don't put their faith to where God will fill us with his Holy Spirit to you. Listen, it's not just a one and done time thing. And in fact, you're right there. Look at chapter 4 and look at verse 8. Then Peter filled with what? Did you see Acts chapter 4 verse 8? Then Peter filled with the what? That means he was filled again. That word filled there doesn't mean that he was filled, back on the day of Pentecost. This filling is a continual thing that must be taking place. That, Lord, I'm trusting you today. And I'm trusting you to fill me today and every day that you might fulfill your will. What, by the way, here's what we have to do too. Lord, I am surrendering my will to your will. Oh, are we ready? Lord, I am willing to do anything you want me to do. I am willing to surrender myself to what you would have me to do. Are we there? Are we willing to do that? Lord, I am surrendering myself for you to use me any way you want to. That means even handing a tract to somebody. Oh, wait, hold on, wait a second. I was all with you until you said that. Until you told me I had to climb out of myself and extend myself to somebody. I'm not comfortable doing that. Well, I promise you, listen, no disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ is comfortable, especially with meeting with failure and doing anything for the Lord. But when God is in the middle of it, it's exciting. Amen. When God is doing the work, we will see things happening. And you know what we'll want to do? We'll ask the Lord to do it again. Amen. Lord, I want to see you do that again. So notice what happens here. Again in verse 4. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them. Right? So here's this lame man giving heed unto them. But look at his purpose. Expecting to receive something of them. And by the way, he did, didn't he? But here's the question. Did he get more from them than he ever dreamed of? Listen, when you and I go to tell somebody about the Lord Jesus Christ, here's the first expectation. Ready? Oh, we're going to get a speech on religion. But if the Holy Spirit is working, the Holy Spirit will convict them of their need of eternal life, and they'll get something more than they ever dreamed of. God wants to use you and I to give the lost world more than they ever dreamed of, and that is life eternal by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so verse 6, then Peter said, silver and gold have I none. That's an easy confession, isn't it? Such as I have, give I thee. Now listen to this. In the name of Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Wow. He just gave him a command. But wait a minute. Do you remember we have something called the Born of Four prayer list? You know why we have the Born of Four prayer list? Because when Jesus, the Bible says, when Jesus saw their faith, that's when that man got healed. When Jesus saw the faith of those that were born of four, because that man was a paralytic, he didn't have any power of his own. When God sees our faith in him, he will reach out and touch the lost world to open up their eyes through the proclamation of his word in our lives to them and change their lives. That's what God wants to do. And by the way, that will set the church on fire for God, if that's what we want. But if that is not our interest, then we're fooling ourselves. And listen, we're going to dry up, spiritually speaking, and wither away. There's no fruit going to be born unless we're willing to get on board and participate in what God has called every church member to be, and that's a soul winner, to tell the lost world. God has commissioned the church. God, listen, the most important duty that you and I have as a believer, just as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, is to tell lost souls about eternal life. But really, the first thing is to seek God with all of our heart, mind, and soul for his will to be done in our lives, and then we can tell them. See, if we're not saying, Lord, I am willing to be a, listen, servant. I am not going to be a judge. I'm not going to be a boss. I'm going to be a servant and trust you and your will and your way and not mine. That's what Peter had a hard time with. We call that pride. And God says, I'll resist the proud. And listen, unless God gets a hold of the heart of a prideful heart, we'll not surrender. We'll think we are so right. And listen, and we'll be, Lord, here's what we need. We'll tell the Lord what we need. Here's what's missing at Northwood Baptist Church. And the Lord says, oh no, I'll tell you what's missing. My son, give me thine heart. My son, my daughter, the Lord. The Lord's son, the Lord's daughter, give me thine heart. See, Peter finally gave the Lord his heart. Now, Peter wasn't perfect. He made mistakes. Did he not? We saw here just recently how when the Jewish people were around, he was participating with them and refraining from the Gentiles even after the day of Pentecost. So he was still human. And he was still capable of making mistakes just like we are. But if we are seeking the Lord, it is God's will to use us for his honor and glory. Amen. And it was for Peter as well. And so notice what happens. The born of four prayer list is because you and I have faith for God to save our loved ones that we're praying for. And so notice what Peter does here. Again, verse 6, then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Peter again, and that's a conjunction, so he's not done. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. Peter did. Do you think Peter expected him just to be there and be limp leg and just drop him again? How in the world did Peter, a human being, know that he was in tune with the Spirit and the will of God? He was in tune with that. And so he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately, this was not the lame man's faith, it was Peter's faith and John's faith that was at work. It was John and Peter's trust in the Lord that he would perform what God had promised. Is God true to his word? You mean to tell me, even in 2025, God is still true to his word? Do you mean to tell me that God wants to use Northwood Baptist Church to be the light and the salt of the world? Do you mean to tell me that God wants to use you and I individually to be the light and the salt of the earth? He does. If we'll trust him. And so, immediately, his feet and ankle bones receive strength. Now we find this undeniable permanent change in the life of this lame man by the power of God. Look at verse 8. And he leaping up. Boy, you think he's a little bit excited? And he leaping up stood and walked and entered with them into the temple. Listen, walking and leaping and praising God. Do you think he was a little excited? Hey, when you got saved, were you a little excited? Do you think this lame man was glad that Peter and John went his way? Do you think that he was glad that Peter and John stopped and looked on him and pointed him to the Lord Jesus Christ that he might experience the grace of God in his life? And if we're not careful, we just walk by. If we're not careful, we're just walking by. Don't got time. Don't have time. You don't need what I got. And maybe that's not our heart. We're just not thinking about it. That's a detriment also. Lord, may I think about, listen, when we stand before the Lord in heaven, what will be the most important thing, besides ourselves trusting the Lord Jesus Christ, what will be the most important thing ever done? Will it not be pointing others to the Lord? Will it not be our effort to say, Lord, show me your will and way that you might use me to tell a lost and dying world that they too might have this life you've given to me? That we would every day, Lord, show me what is missing, what you want me to do, whatever it is, Lord, that you might have your will and way, and that I might be faithful to you and be the light and the salt you've called me to be. Do you think this fellow was glad that Peter and John were yielded? Do you think this guy was glad that Peter didn't have some new ideas about how to serve the Lord, but he simply did what God asked him to do? And so, notice this. Not only was he leaping and praising God, which is a great, great thing. Verse 9, and all the people saw him walking and praising God. Do you know when a life is changed, everybody in their realm, whoever we lead to the Lord, will see the difference. They'll see the change. See, we're not just trying to build a church role. We want to see lives changed by the glory and grace of God so that they can bring the change that God brought into their lives into the other lives around in their world. That's what it's all about. But if we're not careful, I'm not against, and we'll look at that tonight, I'm not against doing things to reach out into the community. But it will be by the word of God that faith comes into the life of people. It's not going to be by what we think we ought to do. It's going to be by what God has said and the way that he works and what he wants to do. You'll notice was there anything done outside of what would normally be done? It was just a conversation, wasn't it? It was a connection that was made between God's people and a lost man that needed the grace of God. And notice what happens, verse 9, and all the people saw him walking and praising God. Notice, and they knew that it was he which sat at alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled, listen, with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. Amen. That's what we want to see, isn't it? That listen, when we lead somebody to the Lord, they go back into their families and they're amazed at the change that God had brought into their lives. Do you know what will happen? They'll say, listen, I know this person. They're different. Hey, can I get some of that? Can I get saved? Can I see a change? Hey, all of a sudden, I think they've got a little bit of an interest that they didn't have before, because two disciples were willing to be used for the glory of God. Amen. And so, they knew who this man was, and they were in amazement at the bottom of verse 10 at that which had happened unto him. They were amazed. Verse 11, and as the lame man, listen, which was healed, what did he do? Remember, he was leaping and praising God, but what's he doing? He is holding Peter and John. You think he wanted to let go of them? They were the vehicle, they were the instrument that God used to change dramatically this man's life. Do you think he loved these? Do you think this lame man loved Peter and John? Do you think this lame man trusted them completely? Didn't they? And by the way, do you think he put this trust? All you want to do, here's the trust, ready? I am convinced, this lame man, I am convinced, thought all Peter and John wanted him to see was the love of God. And they were convinced that that would be the only direction that Peter and John would ever point them to love God more. Not to look at the world, listen, God wants us to be a testimony. Of what? Of the love of God. Amen. That's what Jesus said. Listen, a new commandment, that you love one another. That you love one another. And so this lame man, verse 11, and as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. Do you see what's going on? Do you think Peter and John could have ever done that on their own? Neither can we. Do you think Peter and John could have come up with, I got a great idea. Let's do this. And the people will come. They'll never come like this. See, until God's people say, we need God, we'll run and spin our wheels. I have seen churches come and go. How about you? I have seen explode, grow, and now where are they today? I've seen people say, here's what you got to do. And you're going to draw a crowd. And you got to go, you got to go big or go home. And where are they now? See, that's what happens, and that's easily done when we look to someplace else other than God. Who said they would build the church? Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? But Lord, here's what we're going to do. Boy, have I got a plan for you. God doesn't need ours. He already has his. And it goes all the way back before the creation of the world. And God's plan works how often? Every time. Every time. We don't need man's plans when you have God's. But the problem is when you don't have God's plan and you're not looking for God's plan, you'll be looking everywhere else and miss God. And so notice what's going on here. Now we find Peter's sermon here of salvation. And basically this is how a relationship with God begins and continues. Verse 12, and when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people. Remember, these are the people that were supposed to know the Lord. They were worshiping God. Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us as though by our own power, listen, or holiness, we had made this man to walk? You know what he's saying? It is not by our power, nor is it by our holiness. So is that what he said? And by the way, is that not the same today? It's the same today. So he says, hey, why are you looking at us like that? As though by our own power or holiness, we had made this man to walk. Verse 13. The God of Abraham and the God and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus. Listen to this. Whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. Did you get that? Pilate was there has to be conviction that what they did was wrong before there can ever be a blessing. There has to be a confrontation with God, and there has to be a confession made, I am wrong. Or there's no repentance. Oh, listen. Even in the midst of what they're seeing, some of them still rejected. But notice what the Lord is doing, because God is not wanting any to miss out. So notice verse 14. But ye denied the Holy One and the just. Do you think Peter, through the Holy Spirit, is making a point of who Jesus Christ was and is? But ye denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you. Wow. You would rather a murderer. You would rather somebody who was ungodly. You would rather allow murder to be exalted and the truth to be denied. You would rather let somebody who was an evil individual over the righteous one. And notice verse 15, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. You know, if we're not careful, we hide the Prince of Life. We hide the truth. We can hide the truth through our pride, through our ignorance. God wants us to know that he still wants to use us for his honor and glory to see his name glorified and great things done. And so notice what he says. He says in verse 14, but ye denied the Holy One and the Just One and desired a murderer to be granted unto you and killed the Prince of Life whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. Listen, did God give them an unbelievable witness? Fathom this thought. Listen to this, okay? If God uses you and I to bring souls to salvation where their lives are genuinely changed, do you think the people in their life are gonna believe that what's happening is for real? Do you think, listen, they're going to see that maybe people that lived one kind of a life now are living a completely different kind of a life? People who were maybe dishonest or involved in things that were destructive in their own lives have given those things up because of the grace of God being better than anything they ever could have imagined. They're going to be easily drawn because God is going to be working. You and I can't draw anybody by our own effort. Peter would have never had an ear of all these people unless God did something for that lame man. You and I won't be able to do anything for the glory of God unless God uses us to bring souls to salvation by His grace. Amen. Through our lives. And that's how we're going to have an influence in this world. Not by anything that we can come up with. And he says, he's, by the way, he said, you guys are witnesses. Verse 16, and his name through faith in his name hath made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given this, has given him this, listen, perfect soundness and presence of you all, in the presence of you all. What you are witnessing, what you are seeing is the glory of God. Do you think Peter and John enjoyed doing that? Do you think Peter and John enjoyed watching God work through their lives? God wants to work through your life and mine. He wants to. Here's the real question. Do we want it? Do we want God to work through us that way? Do we really want that? Verse 17, and now, brethren, I wot not through ignorance you did it, as did also your rulers. He says, I'm not holding this. You did it. You did do it, but you did it in ignorance. Verse 18, but those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. He says, I want you to know God fulfilled prophecy in the Old Testament. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. You remember what Moses was all about? He married a Gentile bride, didn't he? He was rejected by his own brethren the first time and then received the second time. Boy, oh boy, if that's not like the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 23, and it shall come to pass that every soul which shall not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Ooh, that's pretty powerful. That's what the promise. You'll be destroyed if you neglect that. And by the way, you might be saved, but if you can neglect and reject the grace of God, I wouldn't want to be in anybody's shoes like that, would you? Verse 23, and it shall come to pass that every soul which shall not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. Ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. That's God's will. And some received him. Many received him. Even during the ministry of the apostles. You know why? Because that was God's plan and purpose. To use the first century Christian to be the light and the salt of the earth. To be the second century, and all the way down to our century. And until he returns, that is God's plan. Will it ever change? No. You and I can be beneficiaries of that as his children. Amen. But see, salvation does that just gets things started. Now, are we willing to allow God's will and not ours? What was it that held back the disciples during the Lord's earthly ministry? Their will. They weren't compliant with the Lord's will. And how many of you know this? Our will and God's will are not the same thing. In fact, if we're leaning to our will outside of what the Word of God is saying, who are we rejecting? If you're listening to something other than the Word of God and following that, we're rejecting the Word of God. There's no in between. There's no in between. God, Jesus said, you are either for me or what? Who are we for today? You know there's blessing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? If we will yield to the Lord, He will bring things to pass that will awe us and give us boldness by His Spirit to proclaim the truth to a lost and dying world that desperately needs Him. God wants to bless Northwood Baptist Church, beginning with each and every one of us, if we'll say, Lord, I need you. I trust you. I believe your word. And I want your will in my life. But I can't ask that for you. And you can't ask that for me. But we can sit in church, hear a message, and never ask God to do anything. So what is your will today? God would ask, what do you want today? Do you want something from Him? Then we must surrender all. Amen? Would you stand? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, for your wisdom, and Lord, for your will that you want to fulfill in our lives. Lord, do a work that only you can. And Lord, use us for your honor and glory that we might see many souls saved, that we might not limit you, but Lord, that you might bless us like we can't even begin to understand and see many souls saved for your honor and glory. Bless Northwood Baptist Church, Lord. Bless the invitation, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.